But in Mark chapter 14, you remember last week we talked about the baptism of Jesus and then his temptation in the wilderness. And in verse 14, it appears, at least in the book of Mark, that right after he was tempted, it says in verse 14, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And if you read the book of Mark, okay, that's good. That was a little loud. If you read the book of Mark and if you read the book of Luke, it implies that right after Jesus was baptized, he went into the he called his disciples and he started a very active public ministry. But if you put Mark and Luke's account with that of the account of John, you'll find that there's probably about a year between his temptation and him coming and doing what we read in verse 14. In that year, now, and again, let me just talk a little bit about you what's in the book of John in that year. It's where Andrew and Philip sort of found him, and Andrew brought Peter to him, and Philip brought Nathanael to him. Now, he didn't call them as disciples at that point, but they met him. And they knew that John the Baptist was pointing to Jesus and saying, here's the Lamb of God. Here's the one that I prepared the way for. In that year, he went to the wedding in Canaan and performed his first public miracle, turning the water into wine. Now, the Bible says that some of his disciples were there. And again, it probably was Andrew. It probably was Philip. It wasn't the whole contingency of 12 yet. And what we're going to talk about tonight, his call of Andrew and Peter to leave their boats and follow him, that hadn't happened yet. But they were hanging around Jesus. They were staying with him and traveling with him some. In that year, he was in Jerusalem and had the nighttime encounter with Nicodemus. And, you know, Nicodemus, how is it possible that a man can be born again? And Jesus said, you got to be born of the flesh and born of the spirit. And talked about how he was going to be lifted up. And toward the end of that year, in John chapter 4, is his journey back to Galilee through Samaria, where he stopped by the well at Sychar and met the woman at the well. And according to her testimony, told her everything she ever did. And said, hey, I am the Messiah. And she went back and told the city, and the city came out, and some believed because of what she said, and some believed because of Jesus' word. He stayed with them 2 days there and preached to them. And so in that year, and again, he only had about a 3.5 year public ministry, but the first year, John was still preaching. I mean, he was still, calling people to repentance, saying that the kingdom of God is at hand. You need to repent. You need to get baptized as a sign of that repentance. So John was still preaching. Jesus was sort of in the background still. I mean, he was, again, he worked some miracles. I mean, he turned the water into wine. He traveled with his disciples some. But in verse 14, it says, now after that, John was put in prison. And again, it was about a year or so after Jesus' baptism. And you remember Herod arrested John because he said, it's not right for you to have your brother's wife. It wasn't that his brother Philip had died. They divorced, and Herod married his brother's his wife. And John says, not right. What you did is not right. John said, okay, I'll fix you. I'll throw you in jail. And he was put in prison. And when he was put in prison, it says here, Jesus came into Galilee and he started his very public ministry. We're going to see tonight, he's going to call four of his first four disciples, Peter and Andrew and James and John. And so, again, John carried on preaching. And then here's Jesus, he says in verse 15, and saying, the time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. He says, John's been talking to you about it for about 18 months. Again, he started 6 months before Jesus was baptized and this year after Jesus was baptized. He says, the kingdom of God is at hand. You need to repent and be baptized as a sign that you are repenting and that you want to take part in that kingdom. Now Jesus comes and says, hey, the time is here. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. The ones that the kingdom that was prophesied, the kingdom that John has preached to you about. Now, I want you to notice, he doesn't use the kingdom of Christ. In fact, he doesn't refer to himself as Christ, because Christ had taken on the word, the name Christ had taken on the meaning of the Messiah, the political ruler that was going to come back. And we know Jesus is that Messiah, and the next time he comes back to earth, he's going to rule. He'll be that king. He'll be that Messiah that they're looking for. But there was no doubt in anybody's mind that as Jesus' ministry unfolded, those that believed in him knew that he was the Messiah. They knew that he was the prophesied Christ, the one that was one day going to rule. I mean, I don't think they quite understood it the way that we have it, because we have the whole Bible and we can look back, and that he was just starting to explain what was going to happen. But he said, the kingdom of God. He says, it's here now, the one that John's been talking to you about. And he said the same thing as John. He said, repent, turn from your sins. But then he added that phrase, and believe the gospel. Believe the good news of the Bible. Now again, he hadn't gone to the cross yet. That was about 2.5 years away. But he says, you've been looking forward to what the prophets and John have pointed to. He's here. It's me. I'm that person. You need to believe that I've come. And I am the Lamb of God, as I was introduced by John. And that I am going to take care of your sins. And again, in the early stages, they didn't understand it. They didn't understand. Even as time went on and as he taught his disciples, they didn't understand. I mean, when he went to the cross, they didn't fully understand it. But Jesus is saying here, it's at hand. It's here. You don't have to wait anymore. You need to repent. You need to turn from your sins. And you need to believe in me. Believe in me. Then, in verse 16, now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with hired servants and went after him. Now, we're going to spend the rest of our time talking about this. And I'm going to bring two or three things that the Lord's laid on my heart this past week as I've prepared for tonight. I'm going to bring them together and sort of make one point as far as the lesson goes tonight. First of all, I want you to notice that Andrew and Peter and James and John were very successful businessmen. They were very successful fishermen. I mean, the fact that they both sets of brothers had boats, the fact that they had servants helping them in the business. I mean, it says there in verse 20 that left them with the hired servants indicates and implies that they had a very thriving business. Of course, fishing back then was one of the mainstays. I mean, they ate a lot of fish. That was a main ingredient of their diet. And if you were a successful fisherman, you could make a lot of money feeding people. I mean, it'd be like almost like farmers today. And I know we still have fishermen. They make a lot of money. I don't like fish very much. But, you know, it was a very prosperous business in that day. And these brothers were very, very successful. Now, you read the book of Mark. And it says, Jesus walked by. He saw Simon and Andrew. He said, hey, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. And if this is the only gospel that you read, the only account that you read, you might say, why would they do that? I mean, he passes by, he sees them fishing, and they're going to give up their livelihood? I mean, they're just going to walk away from everything? And he walks a little bit further down the beach, he sees two more brothers, James and John, doing the same thing, cleaning their nets. He says same thing to them, follow me. you're fishing for fish. I want to make you fishers for men. Come on, leave everything. Leave your father, leave your servants, leave your boats, leave your business, leave your success, leave your money. Come follow me. I want you to fish for men. And again, if this is the only gospel you read, you say, why would they do that? I mean, how could they walk away from their business? And that's why God has given us all four of the gospels, so that we can put them all together and we can see how he works. If you go over to Luke chapter 5, and just turn ahead in your Bibles, one book, to Luke chapter 5. And Luke sheds a little bit more light on what happened here this day as Jesus called these four men. He sheds a little bit more light on how they were able to walk away from their business. Now, again, I want to remind you, Andrew sought out Jesus. John the Baptist says, there he is, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Andrew followed him. Jesus said, why are you following me? I want to see where you live. Well, come on, I'll show you. He met Jesus. Then he went and got Peter and said, Peter, we found the Messiah. Come and meet him. And Jesus said, hey, your name's no longer going to be Simon, it's going to be Peter. You're going to be a rock. And they had met, okay, that first meeting. And then in Luke chapter 5, we find a story that, again, this what happens in Luke chapter 5 is the same thing that is the same event, the same calling that is in Mark chapter 1. So look at chapter 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets, James and John, Peter and Andrew. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. He said, Simon, I'm done teaching. We're in the boat. We're out in the lake. Let's go fishing. In fact, we're going to go fishing. We're going to catch a lot of fish. Now remember, Jesus was a carpenter. And I can see old Peter. You know old Peter. I mean, yeah, we know how Peter thought. I mean, he didn't say anything here, but I can just imagine what was going through his mind. Here's a carpenter. He's probably never been in a boat before, and he's telling me we're going to go fishing and catch a lot of fish. What does he know about fishing? I mean, he's a landlubber. Spends all his day in a shop hammering nails and cutting wood. He don't know nothing about fishing. And Peter said, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night. Everybody knows you don't go fishing in the daytime. I guess. I mean, you don't go fishing, you go fishing at night. It's when they're out there eating and stuff like that. And he said, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. I think the Bible means exactly what it says. We have fished all night. We haven't caught one fish. Absolutely nothing. But he said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I don't think you know what you're talking about. I don't think you have any idea what it is to go fishing. Most people know that you don't go fishing in the middle of the day. That's when the fish are sleeping. But because you've told me to, and by the way, he just heard Jesus teach, heard Jesus preach. He said, because you told me to, we'll do it. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. I mean, they got out there, they cast the net. I don't think they had to fish for an hour. I think when Peter threw that net over the side of the boat, he felt it moving around. He said, boy, I think we got some. And he began to pull it up, and the net began to break. When Simon and they beckoned unto their partners, so maybe Andrew was in the boat with them, and so they said, hey, James, hey, John, hey, you guys, come on, we got a big catch here, come and help us, that they should come and help them, and they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Now, just imagine this. We gone out last night, we didn't catch one fish. Not one fish. Here we are in the middle of the day. Everybody knows you're not supposed to fish in the middle of the day. We got so many fish in the boats that the boats are starting to sink. I never been on a fishing trip like that. I mean, I went deep sea fishing. I think I told you the story. I went deep sea fishing one time off the coast of Florida. I got so sick, and the waves were, I mean, if they were doing this, they were, I mean, it was just like glass. But the boat was, yeah, boy, I tell you what, I couldn't. I got sick. But I'd never been on and the guy said, we were with it was back in the days where you could go with suppliers, you know. and we were with this supplier. He had a boat full of chicken and all sorts of goods. I didn't feel like eating a thing. He said, we're going to go back. I mean, we went out, we came right back. I think maybe he caught one fish. But I'd never been on a fishing trip like this. I mean, where they caught so many fish that the boats began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, oh Lord. I mean, what would you say? You would know that you were in the presence of somebody pretty powerful. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the drought of the fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, again, here's what I want you to catch tonight. Here's Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Very successful. Probably making all sorts of money. Had all the luxuries in life. They went out the night before and caught nothing. Nothing. They went out the next day, and they caught, at Jesus' word, they caught so many fish. I mean, I don't think they've ever caught this many fish before. They never caught so many fish that their boats began to sink. And here's what Jesus said. I want you to give all this up. I want you to come follow me. And he says, I hope you've realized in the last 24 hours that I can take care of you. You don't need to worry about leaving your business. You don't need to worry about leaving your profession. You don't need to worry about where you're going to live or what you're going to wear or what kind of boat you're going to own. I hope you've realized in the last 24 hours, when you've gone out and caught nothing, and then you've gone out a few hours later and you fill both your boats so much that they begin to sink, I hope you realize that I can take care of you. And when Jesus said, hey, why don't you quit this and come follow me and let's go fish for men, they said, okay. And they forsook all. They just walked away from everything and they followed Jesus. Because they saw that when he gave them an example. You can't take care of yourself. You went out fishing last night and didn't catch nothing. I came and you caught so much your boats began to sink. I can take care of you. Trust me. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men and you don't need to worry about how you're going to eat or what you're going to wear or where you're going to live. I'll take care of all that. Now, that reminded me of another story back in 2 Chronicles. Take your Bibles, go back to 2 Chronicles with me. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. We just got through studying these kings, and as I was thinking about the lesson tonight, I thought about this little story in 2 Chronicles chapter 25. I got to get to the 2 Chronicles. In verse 5, here's what it says. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds according to the houses of their fathers throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above and found them 300,000 choice men able to go forth to war that could handle spear and shield. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. Here was the king of Judah, okay, the southern kingdom. Two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. Amaziah's new king is putting his army together. Got 300,000 men in his army. And he said, I don't have enough. And so for 100 talents of silver, he hired 100,000 men from Israel, the northern kingdom, 10 tribes, the one that turned away from God, the one that Jeroboam built the two golden calves at the very beginning of the kingdom. 100,000 men. But there came, verse 7, but there came a man of God to him saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. He said, here's the prophet coming to the king, says, don't take these 100,000 soldiers with you. They belong to the Israel, the nation of Israel. They've turned their back on you. And if you take them with you, God's not going to be with you. And in verse 8, but if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for the battle, God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall I do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? Here was the prophet of God saying, send these men home. You don't need them. They've turned away from God. God's not going to help you if they're with you. And here's the king saying, but I've already paid them. I paid them 100 talents of silver. What am I going to do? I mean, they ain't going to give me the money back. And here's what the man of God said. And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. What God was saying is, look, if you've already spent this money and God tells you you've spent it foolishly, don't go forward with your plan. Back off your plan. Send these guys home. It doesn't matter. You've already spent the money. God could give you a lot more than that. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. Remember who he is. We put together these plans. We put together plans for our life. We work them all out. We open up an IRA. We buy bonds. We buy stock. They go up. They go down. And we got it all figured out. Oh, I got my retirement all figured out. And again, I'm not against planning. I think you should plan. I think you ought to plan. I think you ought to pre-plan your funeral and get everything, have good life insurance. I'm all for that. But what I'm saying tonight, we need to remember, who should we really depend on? It's God that we depend on. It's God that's going to take care of us. And he can take our plans and in a moment turn them upside down. We got it all planned out. We see our future. We got it all lined out. And God said, well, I think you need to be closer to me. So I'm going to upset the apple cart a little bit. And we say, God, I had this all planned out. And you messed it all up. God said, I know I did, but I can give you a lot more than you had. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. Now, one more passage of Scripture. Matthew 19. I'll quit in just a second. I'll draw it all together real quick. Matthew chapter 19. When you get there, get down to verse 23. A rich man comes to Jesus. He says, What things must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you got to keep the commandments. And he mentioned the commandments. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said, I've done all those. Ever since I've been young, I've kept all those commandments. Jesus said, okay, you lack one thing. Just one thing. Go sell everything you have. Give it to the poor. And come and follow me. And you know the story. The rich man heard it. He went away sorrowing. So he went away sad because he was rich. Now look at verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now you might say a camel can't get through the eye of a needle. He's talking about there was a gate in Jerusalem called the eye of the needle. And for a camel to get through that that gate, he had to basically get down on his knees. I mean, if this was his front paws or whatever they call them, he had to get down on the first joint. I know this doesn't look very dignified, but he had to get down and sort of knee his way through that gate. It was possible, but it was very, very difficult. And Jesus said, it's easier for that camel to get through that gate down on his first joint of his legs than it is for a rich man to be saved. His disciple says, well, then who can be saved? And Jesus said, with men, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Then look at verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Peter says, when you called us to follow you and become fishers of men, we left it all. Gave up our business, gave up our profession. Here's what Jesus said. Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. Again, Jesus was saying, I know, Peter. I know you've left it all. I know when I called you and you followed me, you gave it all up. But don't worry. You made a good investment. You made a good investment. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you down here. And when we get to heaven, I'm going to take care of you in heaven. Now, I'll close with, you don't need to turn to it, Matthew chapter 6, Sermon on the Mount. Here's what Jesus said. This ought to be the way we live our life. When he calls, we ought to follow. Doesn't matter. I mean, we'll have all sorts of reasons why we don't want to do what God wants us to do in our life. We'll have our plans, and he may disrupt our plans. Here's what he said in chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto a stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, for how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And the primary focus in our life is, what does God want me to do? I'll do it. Doesn't matter what it costs. I'll do it. Because I got a God that will take care of me. And when that day on the beach of the Sea of Galilee, when Jesus said to Peter, and he said to his brother Andrew, and he said to James and to his brother John, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. You've been fishing for fish. You've been very successful in fishing for fish. I want you to take all those skills that made you a good fisher for fish, and I want you to employ those skills to fish for men. And I'll take care of you. And he makes the same promise to every single one of us, because we're supposed to be fishers of men. And he says, I'll take care of you. Okay, got a couple, 3 minutes. Anybody have a question or a comment?